Let's give that a sound check, Tom. Yeah, Joanne, if you hold that right there. Good morning. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Take some time to settle in. Good to have everyone here, all the visitors. Just wonderful. Everyone take some time to settle in. Kevin Horsberg is back in extra seat today. I'm just wondering, Kev, there's nowhere to go, buddy. You're going to be against the wall pretty soon. Well, welcome. Welcome into the house of the Lord. This is the church in Mount Forest. Tom, you can probably cut that music feed now. Thanks, brother. Come on in, ladies. Lots of room. Welcome. Welcome to the church in Mount Forest. Many expressions. Are our Victory friends here from Victory Church? Great to have you guys. Thank you for coming. Wonderful to have you in the house. When I was a little boy, my mom would take me to a camp up north, and I loved driving into the front gate because there was a beautiful banner quoting a phrase in the book of Acts, King James Version. Sirs, ladies, gentlemen, little boys, little girls, sirs, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Our goal for you every time you come into this building is that you would get from a new angle and a new look a vision of Jesus Christ. When you drove out of that camp, on the other side of that banner was, we beheld his glory. That's what today's about. Kevin, as you sing, may you see Jesus and may you behold his glory. Joanne, as you speak the word of God, may you see Jesus and behold his glory. And we just want to be part of that today. Let's pray. And we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here with your people. And thank you for the opportunity for a weekend every year to say thank you. I pray that we would dwell in a posture of thanks all the time. And most of all, that you indwell us. Thank you for residing in jars of clay, earthen vessels, so that your glory may be seen wherever we are and whoever we're with. And thank you for your friendship and your love. We worship you, we honor you, we put you in the highest place. And we say, Jesus, you are our Lord and our God, and we love you. Amen. I'm going to dive right into the program today. I want to welcome my friend Kevin. I was at a pretty fancy birthday party slash anniversary, and I walked into the building. Kevin and his new band were playing for this wonderful party, and Kevin said, Dan, why haven't you invited me to your church? And I said, well, Kev, you're not the teenager I once knew who would sing anywhere, anytime, for any price. Your band is quite accomplished now. And he said, Dan, just buy me lunch. I want to love your people. And I'll give him more than lunch, of course, but Kevin has always been one of those friends. I love the phrase in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. My relationship with Kevin has always been one of delight and joy. We laugh more than we talk, which is hard to believe. And we were working on today, and I got excited when Kevin agreed to come, and I thought, oh, great. Let me give Kev just a couple of suggestions on my favorite songs. And I start to text, and Kev's getting the download of Casey Kasem's Top 40. And I get that little bubble that says Kevin's responding. And the response is, Dan, how about you just shut up and let me pick the songs? Kevin's like a brother and a friend, and I adore him. And Joanne is here by popular demand. It's wonderful when someone comes and speaks and everyone forgets about you and thinks about Joanne's gift because the Lord has really used her. So Joanne's one of those people whom you dare to be yourself. You can actually open up your soul, and Joanne's never embarrassed, never condemns, and never makes you feel like you are a second-class citizen in the kingdom. But Joanne's one of those people who makes you feel like you're in the presence of the Lord Jesus, grace upon grace. Kevin, Joanne, can't tell you how happy I am that you're here amongst our people. We're going to do a call to worship together. And because I don't sing well, Joanne and Kev are going to lead our little call to worship. So why don't you stand with us, and we're going to sing together, O Come, Let Us Adore Him, as our call to worship.
And O come, O...
Come, let us adore him.
We're going to do a different song.
I told you
I miss my mind sometimes.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he
may be seated. Thank you. Kevin, we want to be in the center of unbroken praise. Children, you're welcome to stay, but I think there's some Sunday school happening for you. So kids, you can zip out whenever you're comfortable and while Kevin's singing, or you may stay if you're comfortable.
Are you done speaking now?
With Dan, you always have to ask that with Dan here because you never know, right? Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'd rather be, oh, in a deep dark grave, and know that my, oh my, whose soul was saved. A house of gold, and deny my God and lose my soul. Some people steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and worth. Oh, yes, will melt away. I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved and live in this world in a house of gold. My God, and lose my soul. I don't want to lose my soul. Lose my soul. Lose my soul. Well, what good is gold and silver too if your heart's not pure and true? Oh, oh, sinner, hear me when I say, yeah, we'll fall down upon your knees and pray. Oh, I would rather be in a deep dark grave and know that so we'll say, and live in this world in a house of gold, and deny my God, and lose my soul. I'd rather
I grew up in church. I've always been somebody that wanted to follow Christ, but I could never even dream of doing that if I didn't believe that Jesus was holding my hand every step of the way. It's a beautiful old song. Listen to it. I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all I wanted to be. See, I thought I could build on my sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding. I thought I could do a lot on my own. You see, I thought I could make it. Thought I could make it all alone. You see, I thought of myself as a mighty. The mountains
without you, holy, my name. Without
you, I mentioned I grew up in church, and I just grew up on gospel music. And this young 56-year-old has a very old soul. My dad grew up telling me all of these wonderful old songs that he would grow up listening to. And my brothers and sisters are much older than I am. I mean, not, they don't look, they're old. They're just old. So I was kind of a generation older than all of my friends. I would tell them about songs that I knew or songs that I loved to sing, and most of my peers didn't really know these songs. They didn't grow up with this stuff. So I don't know if you resonate with a lot of these songs that I'm going to sing, but this is kind of my soundtrack to my life. And when I think of my faith, if I'm driving in my car, these are the songs that pour over my mind. And I was doing an interview one time out in Winnipeg, and I was asked, they said, if you had 5 minutes to live and you had one song to sing, what would it be? And it would be this beautiful old George Beverly Shea song. Can you turn the track up a bit, Tom? I'd rather have Jesus in silver or gold. I'd rather have him than have riches untold. Rather have Jesus than houses or to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus.
Thank you.
someday for a through it all, I've trust in God through it all. Oh, through it all, I've learned to depend. And I've learned to depend. And I've learned to depend. I've learned to depend upon His word.
I'd like to say I'm one of those people that learn in the good times, but I don't. We so want to be those people that don't need to go through trials to learn stuff. But in the good times, I'm usually just riding high, not thinking about anything, and all of a sudden when the bottom falls out, it's when you realize how much you cling and how much you depend on the person of Jesus. And sometimes it takes monumental things in our lives to shake us up enough to remind us that the creator of this world wants to just be with us, and he wants to help you through, and he wants to hold your hand as you go through these trials. He's with you in the good times too, but sometimes I forget that. Sometimes it takes bigger things to remind me that I need Jesus every single day. And again, I don't know circumstances. I don't know very many of you. In fact, I know almost none of you. But I can guarantee this. No matter where you are, mountaintop, valley, the creator of this world is standing with you, beside you, with his arm around you, loving on you, saying, hold my hand, trust me. So if you're going to be going through something soon, if you're in the middle of it, or you just came out of it, I want you to know that he loves you more than you could possibly understand. You didn't mention this, but this lovely speaker, Joanne Goodwin, is my sister. And she's someone that I'm incredibly proud of. And she, before I ever started singing, had an album out and was an incredible, accomplished musician. And now she's an accomplished speaker. And so I don't know if you're going to join me in this one later on in the song, but you don't know. It's she does this, and I don't know. I don't know what this means, but it means be prepared for anything. But I want to end my time with you with this song. It just simply says, sometimes it takes a mountain. Just give me a little bit more track in there, Tom.
I faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert, ooh, yeah, to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you. And forgive me, Jesus. I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Oh, this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Trust you and believe.
Trust you and believe.
Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe.
He's a good little boy. Poor Kevin. There were six of our kids. My mom and dad were all done, and then Kevin. You know, my dad used to hold him up when he was little and say, "Oh, and to think we didn't want you." He got over that. He's a good boy. And sometimes it takes a mountain. Well, I've been there. We all go through things in our life, a mental illness. My daughter was a drug addict, cancer. We've been through it all. But that's where your faith grows, if you allow it to. Now, when I was little, my faith was, very, very immature. I remember I think I was in kindergarten, and I said to a little girl, "Are you saved?" And she said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, if you don't know, you're going to hell." What a mighty woman of God I was, even at such a young age. And then to another little girl once, I think I was in grade one, and I said, you know, I don't know what you teach in your church, but like I could say to a mountain to move and it would move. She said, well, do it. And I said, I don't feel like it. But our faith grows over the years and we begin to learn, and sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea to get a hold of me. My son, I have three children. The oldest one, Joey, is, a bit of a genius. He's really, really smart, like scary smart. Like he's probably on the spectrum, you know what I'm saying? Are you listening, Joey? Sorry, but you are. And one of the things, when he was about five, he wanted to take communion. Well, you know, that's a big step, but he knew exactly what it meant. He understood fully what it meant and who God was. And so I allowed it. But you see, emotionally, he was still just five. So he drank the cup. We were in the front row. We were pastors. And he turned around and went, I am Dracula. So he didn't really get it, did he? But, you know, here we are. It's Thanksgiving Sunday, and we are to live a life of gratitude and thanks. Well, you know, there's a little psalm tucked away in the middle of your Bible that's called, in my version, a psalm for Thanksgiving. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. And his faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, years ago I was reading a book. I forget who wrote it. And he was talking about this psalm and pulling out some of the things that are practical issues that we can practice. And the first one, shout for joy to the Lord. You know, maybe I'm reading too much to this, but I think that talks about learning to speak out the good things of God. Our words are powerful. And we were just talking before, so it's a wonder that Kevin ever became a singer, because we siblings... He had a house full of teenagers raising him along with his parents. And, you know, we always told him he was no good. He'd try to do something and we'd say, no, you're going flat. You're going flat. You'll never be a singer. You think, who encouraged the boy? Nobody. But he did. Why did you keep going?
It's an excellent question.
Because you're not too bad now. Learning to speak out the good things of God. And, you know, especially if you've got kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews, younger ones that you influence, let them hear you speak about the goodness of God. Let them hear you speak in a thankful and grateful way. Let them hear you. Let the words come out of your mouth be uplifting. And, you know, sometimes... we wonder why our kids are so disrespectful of authority. But then all you have to do is listen to us and how we speak about those in authority. We don't like the politics going around. Words like, you know, oh, what an idiot. What's the matter with those guys? You know, what's the... And then we wonder why they're not respectful. It's okay to make your stand and to disagree and all of those things, but we are to do everything in love. Watch your words. Now, I have never been guilty of anything like that. Okay, sometimes. Okay, way too many times. But I'm trying to watch myself. I'm trying to check myself. But watch Dan. He'll tear anybody down. That's so not true. He is one of the most uplifting, encouraging people I have ever met. Isn't that true? Don't you find that? Yeah. Anyway, learning to speak, you know, you've heard there are things, there are life words and there are death words. There's power in our words. You know, life words come along, somebody says something and it just picks you right up. And you know, death words. I remember once, I have a brother who's a year and a half older than me. And he sometimes said mean things to me. Can you imagine a brother saying mean things to a sister? Yeah, it didn't usually happen in our house. Okay, a lot. Yeah. So I was really big. I used to be really big. I've lost 140 pounds. Yeah, and you say, wow, life, you know, that's real willpower. No, I had surgery. But anyway, I was a big teenager, and I never had boyfriends or anything, and Jim sat me down one day, and he said, you know, you never have any boyfriends or anything, right? He said, well, it's because you look like a football player. There's nothing feminine about you. Ouch. I knew I was big, but I didn't know I wasn't feminine. I always have felt like such a girl. I wasn't feminine? Oh, those words haunted me for years. In spite of it, Joe Goodwin married me. Oh, he's a good man. He didn't care. And I remember saying to him once, because I had lost some weight, and I remember saying to him, what if I gain it all back and get even bigger? And he said, do you think I would care? The good man. He's a good man. Anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, so I was always feeling bad about that. Well, then we were pastoring at a church in Montreal, and this woman in the church that always looked so classy, she just always looked like a million bucks. She looked like she just stepped out of Vogue. She knew how to dress. She knew how to do her hair. She was just really sharp. And she came up to me one day in church, and she said, Joanne, I saw these exquisite bars of soap. They were very expensive on sale, and I thought, I'm going to get one of these for Joanne because you're so feminine. Well, you know, life words. You don't know. You say something to somebody, it could just go in one ear and out the other, or you could be touching a deep part of their soul. When you notice something about someone that you appreciate it, say it. Say it. Kevin's good at that. You know, sometimes you go too far. Well, you really do. But he's always encouraging and uplifting. And what a wonderful quality to have. I remember my papa, our grandfather on our mother's side, he was one of the most uplifting, encouraging people too. And he was always out visiting people and seeing people and talking to people about Jesus. He was incredibly positive. And he did, like, when I was a teenager, I was living like the devil, and he knew it. But I'd walk into his house, and it was, oh, my beautiful granddaughter. He just always spoke that way. Now, his wife, my Nana, I loved her dearly, but she was a little more negative. And she'd sort of bring it up. That one day he was telling us something at the table, and she kept sort of hitting his hand and saying, Lawrence, they've heard that. Just leave it. They've heard that before. Just eat your dinner. Eat, eat. And he said, oh, she's always looking after me. He could find something positive in anything. Let your words ring out. Let your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews see and hear your love. Speak to them about your love. You know, I've always prayed for my grandchildren, but in later years, I've got to the point now when I see them, I always tell them, do you know I pray for you every day? And I do. I've made that a firm commitment. And I'll see them, oh, I was praying for you today, and you know what I was praying? I let them hear these kinds of things come out of you all the time. We need to learn to speak for joy. Speak out the joy of the Lord. And then the next verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. Well, you know, in some versions of your Bible, it'll say worship the Lord with gladness, and some versions say serve the Lord with gladness. That's because the word in the original language meant worship the Lord in how you serve. We can worship the Lord with songs. We can worship the Lord with dance. We can worship the Lord in how we serve. So it's saying serve the Lord with gladness. Well, you know, service doesn't come easily to a lot of us. Now, my husband is a born server. He just loves to serve people. He was born to serve. And it's really interesting because I was born to be served. It just works so well together. But we are to be humbly serving. You hear an awful lot of workshops and conferences these days on leadership, and that's good. But you never hear one on humility. Learning to serve takes humility. You have to lower yourself to serve. And it's something maybe that's not always on the top of our minds. And you know, sometimes you don't even realize that you're proud until something happens. Like, there was a man in our church in Montreal who had quite a bit of money, and he bought a car, a beautiful car. And my husband is all about cars. He just loves it. And he was looking at this car after the service with this man and saying, oh, wow, that's a beauty. Oh, and it's got this, oh, and it's got that. And they're discussing car things, of which I know nothing. And they're talking, and, oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, this is beautiful, Morris. And I think he was feeling a little embarrassed. You know, Joe was just so delighted. And he wanted to be humble. And he said, oh, you know, it's just a car. And his wife said, yeah, kick it and see what he says. You sometimes don't know you're proud till somebody kicks your car. I remember I got my car kicked once. I was going to speak at a retreat, at a retreat center. And some retreat centers, you have to have your own bedding and all that. But they've never asked the speaker to do that. They always supply the bedding and you know. And so I went off to this retreat in a kind of a rustic place. And I went, there was no bedding. And I said, oh, I think I there's no sheets or anything in my room. She goes, oh, didn't you bring them? I'm the speaker. I didn't say that. I said, oh, no, I didn't. Oh, well, we'll see if we can find you something. And they eventually, you know, found a sheet and a blanket and whatever. And then I didn't have a pillow. I went around knocking on the women's doors. Do you have an extra pillow in your room? And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm the speaker. You should have brought me a pillow and, you know, and then a towel. I didn't have a towel. And do you have an extra towel in here? And I remember sitting in my room and thinking, boy, oh boy, that's not the way you treat somebody you invite to speak and then treat them like that. And then I heard myself, I heard what I was thinking, and I thought, oh, Joanne, who do you think you are? See, I wouldn't have thought I was proud or expected things, but somebody kicked my car. And I realized. Well, another time, my husband and I were pastoring in a small town with a very small little salary. It was almost like an allowance. And we didn't have much at all. And I had to take a part-time job. And the one that was offered to me by someone I knew was a job I would have sworn I would never do in a million years, a call center. I had to call people's homes and do a little survey. It was a selling gimmick. I was mortified, but by gum, I needed the money, and I did it, and I was good at it. So I'd go in there, and the first day I was there, well, the girl who was the manager was a young woman at our church who didn't like me. It was almost, can you imagine not liking me? I know, I don't get it either. But it was a little kind of a jealousy thing. She didn't like that I was one of the pastors, and I don't know what it was. But at the end of the evening, she said, and she got a kick out of seeing me coming in and having to make calls, too. I think it kind of gave her a kick. You know, well, it's okay. At the end of the night, she said, oh, by the way, at the end of each shift, we also we're supposed to clean. And she said, somebody has to do the bathrooms, and everybody hates that job, so I'm putting you on bathrooms tonight. I felt humiliated because I knew she was enjoying this. And so I was in the bathrooms cleaning and crying and feeling sorry for myself. And as I drove home and I was thinking about it, I thought, Joanne, who do you think you are? Shame on you. And I made a decision that night in the car. I thought, I'm going to be the best bathroom cleaner they ever had. And when I went back the next day, I told the girl, I said, listen, if everybody hates doing the bathrooms, I'll do them every night. So I did it every night with joy in my heart because I was doing it for Jesus. Somebody kicked my car and I realized I was just thinking too much of myself. You know, the Bible talks about seeing everybody as more valuable than yourself. Think about that. Everybody. One theologian said, you only love God as much as you love the person that you love the least. Isn't that sobering? That should shake you up, Kevin. There's a lot of people you mistreat. I'm kidding. But think about that. Do you esteem everybody as of having more value than yourself? Well, you know, it's not a statement of fact. Not everybody can be less than everybody. It's an existential statement. How's that? But it's saying we should consider everybody else as having more value than ourselves. That's huge. I mean, just that thought alone is sobering, isn't it? Isn't it? And the more you're able to humble yourself, the easier it is for you to serve other people, to give to other people. We need to be people of service. We need to be people who are generous in our service, who love to give. And I'm not just talking money, although that's good too. You know, sometimes we like to store up money here on earth. I've never had any to store. My husband and I have always been, okay, poor. We don't have a lot. But I learned to give when we were at our very poorest, pastoring this little church with this little salary. I learned to give. I remember one day I was at the church and there were, you know, like we got voted in, all 13 votes. And but the church was starting to grow, and it grew quite a bit while we were there. But I remember at the beginning and saying to Joe, like, what are we going to do to reach people in this town? We've just got a handful of people, and, you know, what do we do? And we're talking and thinking. So I'm at the church one day trying to think of ways to, you know, to reach out to this town with a little bit that we had. And a woman called the church. And she said, I'm on welfare, and it's the end of the month, and I don't really have much to feed my daughter. Do you guys, you know, have any program? And I thought, oh, did she ever call the wrong number? You know, because we didn't have anything. And so I'm about to send her down the road to a United Church that I heard had a program. And then I thought, hey, hold it. I'm thinking, how can I reach people in this town, and this woman is calling and saying, can you help me? And I am about to say no. Well, you know, my whole tone changed, and I said, listen, I'm broke too. I said, but I got an idea. You see, the night before, I had been to speak at a church in a nearby town, and they knew of our predicament and our low salary, and they said to me, instead of an honorarium, they said, just pull around the back of the church, and they loaded my car with groceries. Even with fresh food and some meat, and it was amazing. So I said to this lady, I said, look, I'm broke too, But a church just gave me a whole bunch of stuff, so what are you desperate for? And she said, well, I could use some meat, you know. I said, well, I got 6 pounds of hamburger, 3 for you, 3 for me. What else? She said, well, I'm just using sort of dish soap in the laundry. I could use some laundry soap. I said, are you kidding me? They gave me this industrial side box of Sunlight detergent. Half for you, half for me. What else do you need? And we're going through the list. Pretty soon, I had a really good basket full of groceries for her. And so I went and took him over to her house. And I said, listen, my brother pays for a bus to go through on Sunday morning. We could pick your daughter up and bring her to Sunday school. I said, it doesn't cost anything, you know. She goes, it doesn't cost anything? No, it doesn't cost anything. So I said, and you know, you could also come. Because while the kids are in Sunday school, the adults sit around and have coffee and muffins and talk about the goodness of God and, you know, look at the Bible together. And, you know, she said, it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything. They were our first converts at that church. You say, why? Because of the great programs he had? No, it's because I used a lousy box of Sunlight to share. Whatever you've got, Mother Teresa, I used to love that she said, if you've got 2 pieces of bread, you've got 1 to share. Serve. Give. When's the last time you reached out of your comfort zone to give to somebody, to serve somebody? So shout for joy to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know what that says to me? That suggests don't forget the romance in your relationship with God. I mean no disrespect, but I'm talking about developing your intimacy with Jesus. And the last few months, I have felt this dryness in my soul. And I've really been working again on trying to cultivate that intimacy. You've all seen Fiddler on the Roof. That's a great play. That is a great play. You know, tradition, tradition. And the old man and woman were sitting there. They've been married for hundreds of years. Man said to the woman, do you love me? And I'll paraphrase. Do I what? For 29 years, I washed the clothes, did all this, and do I love you? Look at my life, do I love you? And he's like, yeah, I know. I know, that's good. But do you love me? Do I love you? I do everything for you. I raise the children, I cook the meals, and do I love you? What are you doing? What? And again, he's, do you love me? And she's starting to get it. And she put down the work and looked at him. Do I love you? And had to recognize and reaffirm her love. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit might be in our midst and saying to some of our hearts, do you love me? Do I love you? I've been a member of this church. I give my money. I give my time. I teach Sunday school. I do all these things. What's this question about? Yes, I know, and that's good, and that's wonderful you do those things. But do you love me? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? It doesn't even take words. It doesn't take deeds. I remember one time when I'd been away speaking and I came home and my little granddaughter, who was just maybe 1 and a half, climbed up onto me and she just kept going, Gamma, touching my face, Gamma, Gamma. I didn't say, speak up, child, what do you want? She just wanted to touch my face. I'm suggesting that you climb up onto the lap of God and touch his face. In your halting way, in your, you know, yes, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Just allow yourself to sense that intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You see, then the next verse says, know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. Where is people? The sheep of his pasture. Well, if Sometimes you just can't find the song, and you have to add intelligence to your worship and rely on what you know to be true. When you can't find the song, you rest on what you know to be true. I remember one time my daughter was 15, and we were allowed to put her into this place that, like a group home, a Christian group home that helped kids that were on drugs or whatever. And we were heartbroken. We took her there. I set her up, put up her little teddy bears, helped make the bed, and got her settled there. And then I left, and as I was driving home on the 401, I remember saying, God, if I ever needed to sense your presence, your comforting presence, I need it now. Nothing. And inside, I was making grief noises. I guess I was crying. I was just groaning. God, please, please, please let me sense your presence. Nothing. And I remember saying to God, I don't feel you. I need to feel you, but I don't. But I know she's in the palm of your hand. And so I'm going to just trust you. A couple months after that, it was Mother's Day. So I went down to see her, and she said, oh, Mommy, you got to see what I got you for Mother's Day. You know what it was? A ceramic figurine of a hand holding a little girl. Did God hear me on the highway? Yeah. Yeah. We used to sing, safe am I. Safe am I in the hollow of his hand. I'm sheltered o'er in his love forevermore. He heard me. And sometimes when you can't find the song, you just have to rely on what you know to be true. Oh, I've got more to say, but the time is up. Shout for joy to the Lord. How do you live a life of thanksgiving? Speak out the good things of God. Watch your mouth. Serve the Lord. Give. Humble yourself. Give to people. Sing to the Lord. Develop your intimacy with God. And what was the last one? I can't remember. Yes, add intelligence to your worship. When you can't find the song, rely on what you know to be true. And I'm going to ask you, as Kevin sings a song in closing, he's going to sing the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to ask you to make this a time of prayer privately, asking the Lord, Father, where do I need to watch the way I'm speaking? Father, where do I need to humble myself and serve somebody? Where do I need to get out of my comfort zone and make a difference for somebody else? Father, help me to draw closer to you. And let's just turn this into a prayer as he sings this song.
On earth.
Please stand with me as we dismiss. Please stand with me. Kev, Joanne, can't imagine life without you, and thank the Lord Jesus I never have to. Family, we thank you for coming to church today, and I just want everyone to know that we will have Kevin and Joanne back often. They're on our team, and we love them, and we love you. And let's just say this together as we conclude. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Please join us in the fellowship hall, and you can hang out with Kevin and Joanne for a little bit. And happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving.